we're going to get started because you're already telling wonderful stories.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Today is Thursday, April 21st. This is Lynn Downey in the lovely Prescott home of Gladie Echeverria Miller. Mm-hmm. And thank you for inviting me into your home, and we're going to talk about your life.
Thank you.
So you were telling me you were born in Wickenburg Hospital on Easter Sunday. Tell me a little bit about how your family first came to Wickenburg.
My dad and my uncle had decided, I don't know what for reason, to buy land in Wickenburg and out of Wickenburg. And so that was in 1926. And so they bought houses together there. And then my dad had the ranch right outside of Wickenburg. And my uncle bought a ranch in Aguila, in the Aguila area. And that's my dad's younger brother. So that's how they came there. I don't know what the reason was, because by that time there were quite a few of my brothers and sisters that were already born. But
what were your parents' names?
My dad's name was Miguel, and my mother's name was Vicencia.
And what was her maiden name?
Vicencia Martinez Erro. Hmm.
Okay. And when did they come to this country from, I assume, Spain?
My dad came in 1903 from the Basque Country in little village in the province of Nevada to herd sheep. He actually came with contract for a person in California near Camp Pendleton. They had contracted him to come. He was the oldest son, and they needed money, and so he came there. And in 1904, he learned that Arizona was paying a dollar more a month. So he came to Arizona, to Winslow, Arizona, to herd sheep up there. And because he lived at the camp and saved all his money, he didn't go anywhere or do anything, he accumulated his money so that he could then invest. And he had invested in several different things in Arizona to herd and to buy sheep. Mm-hmm. So that's what he did. And my mother was born like 4 kilometers from my dad in a little village, never knew each other. She was born in 1903, and her uncle, which is my grandmother's twin, he came to Flagstaff, Arizona to open like a boarding house for sheep herders, mostly those that are Spanish and Basque. And he wrote to his sister to please send her oldest daughter to come and work in the boarding house. My mother was the second daughter. The oldest daughter, Angelita, and my mother was a year younger. The story my mother told us, they didn't want Angelita to come by herself. So they sold a cow for my mother's passage so the two girls could come together. My mother was 16 and her sister was 17. And when they arrived in New York City, it amazes me because they had to come through Ellis Island and all of that. And whoever had contract, my uncle had met them, put them on a train, they spoke no English, to come to Flagstaff, Arizona.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And I've seen movies now of immigrants coming through and thinking, oh, my mom and my sister were so blessed to have somebody meet them and put them on, because things could have happened in New York City to them, as you know. Anyway, they arrived in the late December of 1919, and my uncle met them, and they went to work for him. They worked in his boarding house. The story is, my dad came into that boarding house. He had ranches in Williams and also in Winslow. He had sheep in there, and he came in there to have breakfast, I guess. And he saw my mother, and he came around again, and then he asked, I would like to court you. And my dad's 35 now, my mother's 17. Who shall I ask permission? And she said, well, I guess my uncle, but then I need to write home also. So she did that. They were married in Flagstaff at St. Nativity Catholic Church in July of 1920. And my dad told my mom, I want 12 roses in my garden, which he wanted 12 children. And my mother's story is that 4. That's all I want to have. And I thank Daddy, because I'm number 11 of 12.
Wow.
He had 12. Because, you know, he was older, much older. So anyway, And when my mother came, she said in Spain she had like a certain job in the house, mm-hmm. which was to go with her dad to collect wood in the mountains and then to help him fish. So she didn't know how to cook. She didn't know how to clean. She didn't know how to sew. She didn't know how to do it. She taught herself all of those things, and she was a marvelous cook, and she made all our clothes, knitted all our sweaters. Yeah. Wow. And my dad actually learned English from a gentleman by the name of Mr. Monterola, who he was at camp with, and he taught my father English and how to write in English and all of that, because my dad, he said he only had like a fourth grade education when he left Spain. I mean, that's as high as they went. So anyway, so that's it. That's,
what a great story.
Yes. Yeah. He was, and my dad retired. He was about 72, 74, something like that, from the business. My second oldest brother was in with him, and then he asked my two other younger brothers to come into it too. So he kind of sold his part of the company to them, and he tried to retire, but he ran a lot of cattle out on the desert out of Wickenburg mm-hmm. for a long time, and he'd drive out there every day to make sure that they were. You know, there were water for them, and there was feed and all that kind of thing.
Wow.
And he passed away when he was 93 in Wickenburg.
My
yes.
Goodness.
Yeah. The day before his 93rd birthday. And my mother, they lived in that same house. I don't remember when my dad said he got that house, but they just kept adding on to it and adding on to it.
Where was the house?
I'm trying to think of the name. Honey, what's the name of the street? I used to call it the old California Highway. What's the name of the street? It's not Tegner Street. I don't know. It's the street right across from, it used to be the elementary school there. And there's a Presbyterian church right in front of it. And over here is an Episcopal church. It's, I'm trying to think of where it's at. Anyway, it's, Pat Jacobs has told us, he keeps eyeing it, you know, he tells me, okay, it's sold, it's been painted this color, now it looks like the bank is not doing anything, and people are breaking into it, now it's being fixed up again, you know, so I don't know who owns it now. We've often thought about, you know, maybe we should buy it, but what will we do with it? It was not a real easy house, because it was upstairs and downstairs, and all that kind of stuff.
But how near was it to Railroad Street or Frontier Street where the train is?
Okay, right up from that. I can't think of the name of the street. We always used to call it the Old California Highway, but I don't know what the name of it is.
It was Center Street, I think.
I don't know where it is.
I'll find out.
The Presbyterian Church sits. That there's a mortuary here in the Presbyterian Church, and then there's an alley, and then there's my mother and dad's house, and then there's another street, and then there's a Episcopal church here and a Baptist church, and then right across the street used to be the elementary school, and I think they made that a charter school now. I'm not really sure across the street. I don't know what the name of the street. And when we lived in it, there was nothing around us. And there was, where the Presbyterian Church now, was a lot that was full of mesquite trees. And we used to, you know, we'd have a trail. We didn't drive down that alley. We'd have a trail that we'd walk down that alley towards the schools. And then they finally cleared it and made it an alley. And then they emptied that lot. It was empty for a long time. And we used to play kick the can with all the neighbors in the empty lot, or tag football or something. But then the Presbyterian Church bought it, and they built their church right there on that corner. Right, and there's the alley, and then my mom and dad's house.
Okay.
And it's kind of, it's on the alley, so the upstairs is up on the street, and then mm-hmm. you go down the alley, and then it's down below.
Okay. Oh, it's Roberta.
Yeah, Roberta. Yeah, no, sure. It's the name of the street. I can't think of the name of the street, but anyway.
It's Yavapai Street between Adams and Madison.
Oh.
It's called Yavapai Street?
Yeah, the one in front. And then the Adams is one by the church.
Uh-huh.
Madison's one up the hill.
okay.
Okay, so it's near Henry Wickenberg's old house.
Probably, kind of. Yes. Yeah. I think so. I think my mom told me that. It was when he...
I talked to the Dan and Patty Doom, and they live down near a big mesquite grove. He said they used to call it the Bum's Jungle.
Oh.
Does that sound familiar?
No.
Oh, but it's that sort of same general area. Anyway, okay, I think I'm figuring it.
Right across from the Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
She's talking about Bum's Jungles, where the Presbyterian Church is.
Where it is
oh,
now?
Okay.
There used to be a big thicket of mesquites in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably it then.
That's it then. Okay. Okay. I think I
you got it. Now. Okay. I don't know what that's what it's called.
Oh, that's what it's called. So, tell me about. So you grew up in town then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you went to the local school.
Yes, the Little Red Schoolhouse. I was first grade in there. Yeah.
Wow.
And then now they've taken that, and there's a shopping center there now. But that's where I went to elementary school. And then the high school is where they now have, is it K through third?
It's
something?
A Christian academy or something.
That might be what it is, the high school.
Yeah.
Because they have the new one now out on Vulture Mine.
Right. So you went through that whole school system.
Yes.
And so a number of other people I've talked to for this project. It's great. And do you remember some of your teachers?
Ooh, let's see. Mrs. Shaw was my first grade teacher, and I think she taught my sister and my brothers, too. She was a first grade teacher for a long time, taught in that Little Red Schoolhouse. And then Mrs. Billingsley was my third grade teacher, and Billingsley, they had cattle, too. They had a ranch around there somewhere. My fourth grade teacher, I don't remember. Mrs. Aldous was my sixth grade teacher. She was there forever. And they, her husband owned a, like a junkyard or whatever, out on the new California highway now. They lived out there. Let me see. Mr. McCullough was my eighth grade teacher. He was an awesome teacher. Everybody loved him. High school, was Mr. Olson was my English teacher. who was the science math teacher? Mr. Fish Leader.
Oh.
Mrs. Hawkins taught history and Spanish. Mm-hmm. Lucy Baines. Who was that her name that was a school secretary?
Lucy Bange.
Lucy Bange. Yeah, she was a school secretary. Mr. McKenzie, who was the principal? And he was superintendent also.
McLennan,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
little short guy. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, and then the new principal that came after him, I can't remember his name. When I was a senior in high school, he was bound and determined, Mr. McCullough, I think of his name, that I was going to get a scholarship to go to ASU because I was valedictorian. And anyway, I said, no, my parents won't let me go to college. They don't believe in it for girls. For boys, yes, but not for girls. No, you're going to go, he said. So, I don't know, he must have written them or something or sent my grades because he pulled me out of class and said, you know, you got this scholarship to ASU, you know. So, let's go tell your parents. And I kept telling him, you know, I don't know if my parents will let me go or not. So, it was lunchtime and he took me in. My mom thought I was in trouble because the principal's bringing me home. And he's telling her and he's so excited. And my mother's comment to him was, well, it's too bad she didn't play football, because then she would have got a full ride. She would have got tuition books. And I was, like, crushed, because here I was excited, but I knew they weren't going to let me go. But anyway, but I was going with my husband, who was at ASU. We had been dating in high school, and he was a senior when I was a freshman. So he's at ASU, and I'm at Wickenburg High School. And when I graduated from high school, he said, well, I think we should get married, because I'm at ASU, I'm a senior, you're going to be a freshman. So I did go. I got to go.
Oh, Lloyd, you should be in on this interview.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a
Wickenburg
native.
Yeah, his father owned the Bridge Court, and when they...
Oh, I've heard of that.
It used to be where the old bridge that crosses the Hacienda at the walking window. Well, that's where the Bridge Court used to be,
right
in there.
Yeah.
And they, when they made the new bridge, they took all of that away, so, yeah.
I'm going to get him in a minute.
Okay. All right, honey. He's going to interview you, too.
You're doomed.
You're doomed. Right.
So you did get to go to college.
Yeah.
Was it a struggle to convince your parents?
Well, once I was married and I was going with him, yeah. So they said yes, it would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. What did you study?
I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher. And I only went like this first year because I got pregnant, and then he was senior, graduated, and he was in business, so he went to work for Montgomery Wards as a trainee for management, and they shipped us off to Riverside, California.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And I had our first child, so then I didn't go back. But anyway, yeah. So,
how long were you in Riverside?
About a year and a half, 2 years, I don't know. We were in California for about 5-6 years. Let's see, he was in Riverside, and then Pomona, and then Santa Barbara. And I had our third child in Santa Barbara, and I told him, I want to go home to my family because I have nobody to help me here with these little ones. You're working all the time. And so he asked for transfer, and we came back to Phoenix in 1960. And he worked for Montgomery Wards and manager in all the different stores that they kept opening up. We lived there for 30 years and raised our 6 kids there. Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, yeah.
And then you came back to
Phoenix.
We came back to Phoenix, but
my parents are still in Wickenburg.
Okay.
And I spent a great deal of time taking care of them because they're older. And first it was my dad, and then it was my mom. I mean, driving back and forth, but my dad actually was pretty good for being, 90 something, but he had kind of like a little stroke, and first time he ever had to go to the hospital, and my mom didn't want him to go, and I said, you know what, he keeps asking, he's thirsty, and it's just, so we took him to the hospital. He was there for about a month, and then my sister that had moved to Reno and my mom decided that they should bring him home. And so it was like I would go up almost every day and spend the night with him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of, but, and we with our mom, we decided she did not want to move with any of us. She wanted to stay in that house, which they'd been in forever, and so we had a series of different people. By this time, too, both my mom and dad kind of reverted to Spanish, as they got older. And so, trying to find somebody to stay with my mom. My oldest sister, Josie, lived right below my mom, but she was working, and it was a burden on her. So we did hire several different ones. And finally, we finally found one that was a little bit older because we were hiring young ones, and my mother would run them off. She's like, she'd tell all kinds of, but my mother just, she'd forget to take her medication. She'd leave her stove on.
Oh.
But she wanted to stay in that house. So I felt like, God really blessed us by letting us allow to find people to stay with her and keep her there because that was what she wanted to do. And she wanted people to come and see her there. And so that's what we did.
Where are your folks buried?
They're both buried in the cemetery in Wickenburg.
The Garcia Cemetery or the main?
The main one.
Okay.
I only have, of 11 of us, I had one brother that died when he was born on a couple days before Christmas at Wickenburg Hospital. And I guess at Christmas Day, my mother said in those days they would stay in bed for 7 days. They'd keep him in with the babies. And she could hear the babies crying, and she couldn't get anybody to go and see because it was Christmas, and I guess they just had one nurse. The doctor wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And she got up to go down there and see why he was crying. He kept crying, because he was the only baby in the nursery. And by the time she got there, the nurse checked on her and said, so they said he had a blue heart. That's why he, and my mom said she didn't know if that was true or not, but that's what he died on Christmas Day. And my mother, because she got up immediately, had a lot of bleeding problems too. But hey, she went on to have what, 5 more kids, whatever. So my brother Anthony is buried in the Garcia Cemetery, and for a long time we could not find his marker there, because I used to like to go to that, because it was close to the Catholic Church, and I'd run over there. And finally, my sister Josie had him located, you know, and actually put a, and then we had a little fence, she had kind of like a little fence put around it, so we kind of know that that's where Anthony was, you know. So.
Oh, that's nice.
My mom and dad, yeah, they're both buried together in the cemetery. That's, what's it called? Wickenburg Cemetery.
City Cemetery, I guess.
Yeah, it's a city one.
Yeah.
I have to tell a story. In 2000, I do a family reunion every 4 years, and I had it here in Prescott. And I had relatives, 27 of them, come from France and Spain for that reunion. And, you know, we went down to Phoenix and picked them up. And then they wanted to see where my mom and dad lived, and I brought them to Wickenburg, and I showed them the church, and I showed, well, they went, the tradition in Spain is that you visit your dead relatives also. It's not something I do, but that's some, it's a tradition. Because I've been to Spain, and they always take me to the cemeteries to see my dead relatives. Okay, so they wanted to do this, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I called up to Carl Miller, who was a police officer at the time. I said, Carl, can you find out for me? So he called the local mortuary and found out. And I knew where my mom and dad were in the front. I thought, well, I can find him. Well, they put a fence around the whole cemetery now. And you have to, when you drive in, you have to drive up and come around down into the cemetery now. And I would have never found him, I'm sure, with that configuration, because I hadn't been there in a few years. So they told me what plot, what section they were in, what row, and so when I took my relatives out there, and it was July, it was hot, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They had to buy all these flowers at Bash's and take them out there. I'm like, okay, and they put them on the grave, you know, and they thought, because I led them right to it because I had the, yeah, so we're out there and they're telling stories, because my mom and dad had a lot of big families, both of them did, and most of them stayed over there. My dad's 6 sisters still live there, and my mom, all her brothers and other sisters lived there. And they sent money all the time, and clothes, and food during the war. I mean, and so they all have this really, you know, they think my mom and dad are just wonderful because they really supported all these families in Spain.
Wow.
And so they had to tell stories about that. I sat there in the heat. I was like, oh, God, okay. All right. Anyway.
Well,
yeah.
That reminds me, I wanted to ask you, were there any other Basque or Spanish families in the region that you could connect with or talk with?
Yeah, well, we used to go to Phoenix quite often to, a lot of them were in sheep herding or cattle. And we would meet a lot of them. My mother always wanted me to marry another Basque, you know, like how's he like? And they were always shorter than me. It was like my mother, no. I have never seen, except my dad. They're all shorties. Anyway, but we went, and then in the summertime in Flagstaff at the Montezuma Hotel, I think it is, we would have what they call a war course, and which is people who raise sheep. And had wool to sell, and there were quite a few of them. They would all have a summer thing, and that's the only time we ever got to leave the ranch in Seligman, was to go, and we'd get so excited because we'd get to go to Flagstaff, stay in a hotel, and, you know, and we'd meet all these families. They'd have a big barbecue, and then they'd have a party and all of that. When we were younger, my sister and I, my mother made us dresses so we could do folk dances for them, and so she would always make us perform in Flagstaff, and then people would throw money at us. We're 7 and 8 years old doing these folk dances for them. It's like, oh geez. Anyway,
now, did your family speak Spanish or Basque?
In the household, my mom and dad always spoke Spanish, and that's what we all learned. But if they wanted to talk about us, they would talk in Basque. And my mom pretty much lost most of her Basque. My dad still spoke a lot. But he'd speak with others. And there are not too many of them who really retain Basque.
Mm-hmm.
But they would talk to each other in Basque. So when most of all of us went to school, we had to learn English. And I know that my mother I remember this five youngest ones. She said, when you go to school and you learn, you will come home and speak English to me because I'm going to learn it very, very well. And so as I grew up, I was in and out all the time. And my mother would switch from English to Spanish. And my husband would come and we'd have lunch. And she'd be talking to me and she'd switch into Spanish, you know. And my husband would say, okay, she did it again. And my dad, like I said, by the time he got... He's pretty much, you had to speak to him in Spanish because he didn't want to speak English to you. And even when he was in the hospital. Hmm. And the nurses were, and he was a fox, I think, because the nurses would come in and speak to him in English. He would smile at them and he'd, you know, respond to them. And I'd say, oh, yeah, you don't speak any English anymore? Give me a break, Dad. So he's, yeah. But, and my mother then, you know, she wanted to really learn English. Here's a story. My mother went for her, she came here in 1920, basically. And my dad was here since 1903. He really didn't need to have his citizenship, you know, for all that time until they passed, I don't remember when they passed a law that said you had to apply and get citizenship. And, he and somebody else, he owned a ranch near Lake Mary up in near Flagstaff, mm-hmm. my dad. And they actually took it away from him because he was not a U.S. citizen. My mother said she finally decided in 1934 she was getting her citizenship because they had passed something that's in the early part of the 30s, I think, that you had to have it. And the judge told her when she went and got her citizenship and he signed the thing, he said, Vicente, you have to get Miguel in here. He has applied 13 times, and 13 times he has not showed up at the court because he's always doing, you know, the sheep, and he's the ranch here and the ranch there. And he, so the next year my mother said, the judge said you have to get in here. So he finally got his in 1935. So he'd been there that long. He got a citizenship then.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did the Spanish Civil War affect any of your family back in Spain?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I do know that I found this. My dad's birth certificate. No, we had that in Spanish. And I also had a document that said that he was deferred from having to serve because when you're 17, you're suscripted to serve in the army in Spain. And he had gotten like a dispensation from that because he had moved to the United States. And he stayed here. My dad stayed here. In 1914 or 1930, he got real ill, and he was, you know, at the camp, and he didn't know what was wrong, and they couldn't find it. So he decided to go back to Spain, and he went back. And in the Pyrenees Mountains, there's a lot of natural waters. Mineral water things, and they have these spas that you go to in the mountains. And he went to one of those. And from what he's describing, it almost sounded like he had tuberculosis, but I'm not really sure because he said he just couldn't get well and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And he stayed there, I don't know how many months, in that place. And my dad believes that water would cure everything. He would line his children up. They taught him how to drink water through his nose to clean all his sinuses out. He would line us all up and make us drink water when we were little through our noses to make sure. And we never did get, you know, any kind of infections or anything. He came back through Ellis Island in 2015. And when we tried to research when they went through Ellis Island, there's no record of my dad coming through in 1903 that we can track.
Huh.
I don't know what happened. And the first time it appears is when 1915. Mm-hmm. And one of our granddaughters was doing some research. And she said, well, that's when he came. And I said, no, that's when he came back from being ill. After being in Spain, he had to come back through there. So I don't have any idea how I got through in 1903. He didn't, now I'm thinking, I should have asked my dad a lot more questions. But you don't do that, yeah. You know.
Well, you know, records get lost.
They do.
As well.
Yeah.
That happens,
they do.
So it's very likely the date is right, but not all records survive.
Because he has tried to research. My niece has tried. They've all tried to research back, but they can't. So anyway, And I thought I would try to do a genealogy on my dad's side and my mom's side in Spain. What was that, 2004, 2002 I started. My next door neighbor was all into genealogy and research and all that, and he was kept after me trying to get the information. It was like one of my cousins that lives in France, who is really from the same village as my dad's sister's girl, she went to the Bureau of Records in Nevada, the province of Nevada, and tried to research it back. And as far back as she could go was 1805, because all the records burned before that. So we have it from like 1805 on. Mm-hmm. And Ron helped me. We went to Spain in 2002 after the relatives were here. They kept saying, "Are you going to come see us?" So anyway, we went, and I tried to get sheets for them to fill out, please fill out this information. It was amazing how in my dad's village, at my dad's home that we have there, my cousin invited all my cousins from my dad's sisters. They all live in that village. Six of them lived in that village, and the kids, I invited them all over. And I sat with another cousin who could translate in Spanish real well to ask him these questions, and I listened to them. This is how they came up with the dates. Oh, don't you remember? That was so-and-so's baptism, and that's when so-and-so got married, and that was, and they were bouncing off each other for the dates, and my cousin's writing them down real fast, so we got a lot of that information that time from that time.
That's great.
My father's ancestral house in that village was built in 1760. And they have a, on the cornerstone, and it's the where they brought the animals in on the first floor. And he said that's what heated the house in the wintertime. And on the top floor, they had all the grain and hay and stuff. So that kind of kept the house. They all built the same kind of, you walk in, it's big, huge hall kind of, but that's kind of their living room, I guess. Big, huge beams, and the floors and the same. And there's rooms off of them, so there's bedrooms and the kitchen and the bathroom. And my dad sent money, and so did my uncle, for me, for them to fix up the house. And they have done that somewhat. But my cousin, who's been living in it for 40, 50 years, she fell through the floor in the bathroom and broke her leg. And so then she had to go stay with somebody else. And she's like 90. She died at 94, I think, 93. She never did anything to the house, hardly at all. She wouldn't let anybody. And the roof was leaking, and the plaster's all coming off. And she's like, she deeded it to the cousin that was taking care of her. And so we here in the United States decided that what we would like to do is to purchase it and restore it so that it just doesn't fall down. So we're getting ready to do that.
How exciting.
We get ready to do that. We have, she put a price on it. We said, okay, fine, we'll try to raise the money with, I tried to form a nonprofit family foundation, which is a headache and a half. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Thank God I have a son-in-law, the CPA, that got me through it, and we got that all filed away. Anyway, I have a nephew, which is Sophie's son, mm-hmm. Paul. Mm-hmm. He's a contractor in Colorado. He's retired now. He lives in San Diego. He went last summer. He's bilingual. He was going to see what the house looked like, what kind of repairs did it need. And I've taken photos. I've been there three or four times. I've taken photos of them. The deterioration from when I went in 1990 to last 3 years ago. Anyway, so he went and he made friends with the couple that own it now and in that little village. And he decided that when he came back, he called me so excited. I'm president of the board of directors. It's like, oh, God, it's family, I tell you. Anyway, he said, I'd like to make a proposal to the board. I think I could do it for a lot less, and I'm willing to go over there and do it. Because he went to Pamplona and priced all the stuff, the tiles for the roof, because it's those tile. They all have that tile roof kind of, and what I can get the plaster for, and he's leaving in May with his son, and he's going to be there till September.
Wow.
Hopefully to do the repairs, And I told him, I talked to him the other day. I said, we're all set. I got you a debit card so you can, you know, get materials and all that stuff. And so he's all excited. And he said, three of my nieces from three different brothers are all going in July to work on the inside with him. And so I have to tell him when I see him to give him the card in May. He's come to see his mom, I think May 4th. He said, I don't want to see any food or drink on this bill because they like to party.
Especially the drink party.
Yeah. Anyway.
Awesome.
But I'm excited that they're going because once you're there and you meet the relatives and you see the villages and where they came from, the history, it just grabs you. I mean, and they can't get that concept. And part of our thing of also restoring it is also then maybe the second, third, fourth generation can go there and learn about their Basque history, so heritage, so they can stay in the house, they can, you know, meet the relatives, there's a ton of them there. Anyway, so I'm excited because I know once they go, they'll be excited to tell others that they need to go, so.
What a wonderful project.
Yeah, it's been
awesome.
It's.
Yeah, I know.
Paul's sister, Lane, has been there. Because her daughter studied in Spain for a year. She had her major was in business and Spanish. And then she actually worked in Spain in a business for about a year, year and a half with her Spanish. So they've been there. A few of the relatives have been there. But anyway, I'm excited that they're going to go. Cause,
that's awesome.
Because then they can say, oh, you know. Actually, Sophie's husband, Dom, my brother Dom, took all his children there for, I don't know, I think they were there for like a couple months.
Wow.
When Paul was like in seventh grade, I think he said. So, you know, he's 60-something now, but he's saying, you know, that was how long ago he was there as a seventh grader. But he said to me, you know, I know I got it because I was there. And after about a week, I said, you know what? I really want to do this. I want to come back and do this. I want to be part of this. So, that's exciting.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that is a great story. And speaking more about your family, I want to back in history a little bit.
Yes.
And tell me, what did you do for fun when you were a kid in Wickenburg? It's after school. What did you do?
Well, what did we do? I was involved with a lot of sports because my older brothers played sports.
Oh.
So we played a lot of sports. In that field, we would play, you know, we'd actually have, sometimes we wouldn't have a ball. We'd have something else there. An oatmeal carton with a rock in it and a stick, whatever. We played a lot of sports. I don't know. We stayed after school a lot, too, because we played sports, at school sports, whatever. And my brothers were involved in sports, so it was like, every Friday or even after school, we'd go and watch them play, you know, practice at the high school, either football or basketball or track. Basically, when we were on the ranch, we had no toys. We played with tit-tat-toe with rocks and sticks. We had, you know, the strings where you make all the things. Did a lot of those with the strings. What we would do is my brother would help find us real flat rocks. At the ranch, we're right on a wash and flat rocks. And then my dad, because we were 30 miles from town, he would bring things, dried fruit, mostly for the camps and for us. Mm-hmm. We'd put little dried fruit, apples or peaches or something, or raisins, and what was old matchbox things, and we tie those onto the flat rocks with string or something, and then we'd make corrals out of matchsticks, you know, and we'd move these rocks around like the burrows are moving from one place to another.
Wow.
And then we take the box off because that's the pack on the burrow, you know, and we take all the little dried fruit out of the box.
That's great. Oh, my goodness. Did you learn to ride?
Yes, somewhat, but, you know, the horses were for working. Mm-hmm. And they would tell us, younger ones, you know, you ruin them if you just want to ride on them. So, actually, we didn't too much. we did learn. One of the things I liked to do at the ranch was my older brothers would bring in the wild horses, and we would sit on the fence and cheer them on as they broke the broncos and never realizing how dangerous that was. I mean, oh, yeah, go, go.
How old were your brothers at that time?
Well, they must have been in high school, maybe. Yeah, because we're, you know. Yes.
That's, did you ever go to the movies in town?
In Wickenburg, yes. In fact, every Saturday and Sunday afternoon, and we had to clean on Saturday, we would get a dime to go to the movies, you know, and then a dime to spend for popcorn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And on Sundays, they'd have a matinee, too. And on Sundays, usually we had church mass on. And then my mother would always do a big, huge dinner for whoever was there, relatives or the priest or whoever we... And it was always, and my sister and I had to clear the table and do all the dishes. And people wouldn't even finished eating, and we know the movie is starting, Mother, and we need to go, you know. And she would scold us afterwards. You were rude to those people. You took their plate away. But we were going to be late for the movies. And in Seligman, they had a theater, and it was 30 miles. So it was like my older brothers would say, okay, there's a movie we're going to go. And we begged them to take us. Maybe once a month or something while we were there. Mm-hmm. We used to, at the ranch, because my mother used to have to bathe us in a big, one of those tubs, you know, we would try to see how dirty we could get. One time we had, who could get their t-shirt the dirtiest and won a contest? My mother was appalled.
What was the prize?
Just winning. Just winning. Just winning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Oh. And my mother would always try to teach us girls in the summertime. We had to learn how to knit. We had to learn how to embroidery. We had to learn how to crochet. And my mother would stamp these old flower sacks, right, you know, and then she'd stamp the thing on it and then buy embroidery threads, and we had to embroider. And my mother would always say to me, my sister and I, your stitches are too big, laddie. And I was just trying, hurry, hurry, hurry. And my sister was like, see there, I didn't get scolded. Because your stitches are harsh. Jeez.
Goodness. Do you remember the priest's name?
Well, I'm trying to think. Father Feeney. See, Wickenburg was sort of a mission for a long time. Priests would just come on Sundays usually.
Oh.
Because from either up here in Prescott, we were a mission of the church here in Prescott, or they would come from Phoenix later on when I was in high school.
Oh.
During the war, there was a Father Kimball. It's in the 40s, and you couldn't get sugar, and you couldn't get all stuff. And he somehow, I don't know how he got the sugar and the chocolate, he came and made fudge for us. I'll never forget that. I thought, wow, you know. My mother had all these ration books, you know, during the war. And she'd say, okay, who needs a new pair of shoes? Let me see, and then the ration books, let me see, you know. My dad did get some exception because he had the ranches, and rubber was very, very, you know, that was one of the things, ration. But he could possibly, for tires, because of his work in the ranch, more so. But, you know, he had to go through all these loops to do it, to be able to get the tires, because it was I remember my mother saying how that was one of the things that was rationed during the war.
Did he have government contracts?
No, he didn't. But because he was a rancher and raising food, I guess, he got that exception, I guess. That was it, I guess. I think that's probably what it was. My mother always had a garden, too. She loved a victory garden. Raised all these vegetables. Yeah. She had it.
The other pastime it had to be the most at the ranch, the cards.
Oh, that's what we played all the time.
Your dad and all your brothers wiped up everybody in poker. No one could beat them.
You know what? My dad used to love to play poker. And I went to a funeral in California one time with my cousin, and there was a gentleman there from Flagstaff. And I didn't know him. And it was a Basque-Spanish funeral in California. And I'm sitting next to him, and I told him who I was, you know, Miguel Echeverria's daughter. And I said, yeah. He said, oh, the story was that during the Depression, that he fed all of us by playing poker.
Oh.
I said, Elvis, journal. We had the ranch, and that's why we ate, and my mother had a garden.
Yeah.
But he said, fed all your kids. And I said, oh, I know my dad used to like to play poker. Yeah, and so he would buy a deck of cards for us, and he'd teach us how to play all these card games. And if we argued and fought at the ranch over cards, my mother had a wooden stove, and she'd take the thing and take it off, sweep all the cards and throw them in and burn them. Because we were fighting, and she told us not to fight over the cards. They're arguing about who won and who didn't, who cheated and who did. Next time my dad would go to the Sligman, he'd buy us more cards. And my mother would just, I told you not to, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
That's great.
Yeah. And in Wickenburg, we didn't play as many cards because we were going to school and we had, you know, jobs and that kind of thing. But at the ranch, we played a lot of cards. That's right. I forgot that.
And books. Read a lot of books.
Read a lot of books.
That's
and
great.
I love to read.
Still do.
I still do. I love to read.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, since Lloyd has joined us at the table, would you tell me about the Bridge Court? I've seen postcards, but I've never known anything about it.
It was the old-fashioned motel type thing, right? And had individual rooms, and in between them was a carport where you park your car. We had 27 units, gift shop, house where we lived, gas station right there in the corner, which was a Shell station, and then behind it was an empty lot where we had a three-room house. Back then, people wouldn't drive from Phoenix to Los Angeles. It was too far, right? So it was a pretty busy town with motels and restaurants and gas stations. That's what it was, a whole town. So everybody made their living and mining and stuff. But anyway, there was one, two, three motels right downtown. First one was at the Bridge. Next to it was Coxwell's. Rancho Grande across the street was Del Rio, which was Coxwell's brother. And on down the street by the movie theater was another one. The big thing was you could get the no vacancy sign up first.
That's great. Oh, I interviewed Royce earlier this week.
Oh, did you?
I heard all about the Coxwells. The whole story, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So many stories I've heard during this project about how important tourism has been to Wickenburg.
Oh, it was. And then when they put the other road in, it was like, oh, my gosh.
Well, Brenda cut off.
Now, were you born in Wickenburg?
No, I'm back east. We moved to Wickenburg in 1948. I was born in 34, so I was just out of the 8th grade. My mom had asthma real bad, so that's how we ended up in Wickenburg, for the weather.
In 1940, it was still kind of it was a dude ranch town, but hadn't really exploded, so it was just kind of a...
Right.
I wonder what... know what was it about Wickenburg that drew them?
Not really. My mom spent, five or six months in Arizona, while Dad and us kids were still back east in Illinois, trying different climates to see how well she did with her asthma.
Oh.
One of the people that also was in Wickenburg was from our hometown in Sterling. He was a local banker. Well, back then he was the bookkeeper at Brayton's, which was the general store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they bumped into him and his family, and I went to school with his two daughters, so did my sister, so that may be part of his thinking, I don't know. My dad just found a business that he wanted, and he bought it, and we moved.
He didn't even tell him. He came out to see his mother. She was in Tucson, staying in a place to see if her asthma, and she was better. So I think he made up his mind, we're moving to Arizona then for her health.
Yeah.
And so as he's traveling around, and I guess he came to see the friends that he knew in Wickenburg, and he saw the motel, and he thought he just bought it. He didn't tell her anything. He goes back to Illinois, and he tells them,
we're selling everything,
and we're having a auction
up everything.
He told him, you can bring one foot locker with you. That's it of all your stuff. That's it. So that we moved to Winnipeg.
How traumatic was that?
Kids see that.
So he entered Winnipeg as a freshman in high school.
Yeah. The summer before, so they actually moved.
Yeah, in 49. Yeah.
What did you think when, after having the difference between Winnipeg and
Winnipeg? Is it too warm on you? I can close that.
Oh, well, I'm fine.
Okay,
yeah, because the sun is coming. Yeah. It's fine, thank you.
Actually, because I was in the eighth grade, I stayed there with my grandmother. My folks and my sister moved out. Oh, I don't know. Probably January or February. And I stayed with my grandmother through May when I graduated. And then I came out on the train. So, and it was a much smaller town from what we were at in Sterling. It was completely different from the standpoint of the atmosphere. I got off the weather, I got off that train, I had a jacket and a tie, and you know, that's the way we dressed back there, right? I about died, it was so hot. Right? We got in the car and came to Winnipeg, and because it was new for us, the kids, and I'm sure my folks were worried that we would be upset, which we weren't. Hey, we went to the movies, we went swimming all the time at the city park, we did this, we did that, so it was a really fun summer.
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Just one sister.
Just one sister,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's younger by 4 years, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so little by little, he put us both to work in the motel.
Yeah. Of course they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were your chores?
I spent 4 years with a paintbrush in my hand. I go start at unit one. By the time we got down on the inside to unit 27, it was time to do the outside. That plus, you know, I raked the needles and I mowed the grass sections and did a lot of little stuff that, you know, that needed being done.
Yeah.
And it was the thing with the motel, you're not able to go anywhere as a family because somebody's got to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as I got older, I was able to, the folks could go somewhere, you know, and then I could be there. Mm-hmm. Plus, we ended up renting to people who liked it so much they just kind of moved in and stayed there.
Yeah,
you know?
There's several families that just lived there for years.
Yeah. So they end up being able to also just, if we want to, as a family, go somewhere, Earl would have room number 9 to come over and he'd watch the place for us.
Mm-hmm. What was their last name? Earl?
Beer. Earl Beer.
Yeah. Wow.
They're from Oregon. Yeah, yeah.
And they stayed connected with your family for years and years, even after they went to Oregon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing my dad did is he ended up upper level and then a lower level. And the lower level wasn't really nice. It wasn't that nice, you know. It was down by where the river was at, kind of. So he ended up, it was the same as right now. You got rentals for people who are underprivileged or whatever.
Low income.
So that's what he had down there.
Yeah.
You know? And they lived there for years. Yeah. You know? So they didn't have individual showers. There was a shower room next to the laundry room. We did all the laundry. Oh, man, we first moved there. 27 units, we did all the sheets, the towels, there. God.
Yeah.
But now I had like four rear washers and then a great big clothesline.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did your folks have the motel?
Four through college is 8. We were in California another, 2 or 3?
They were there till 57, 1957, from 1948 to 1957.
Longer than that, because we were in California a couple of years, all right?
Yeah, but...
So, 48 to 52, and then 52 to 56 was college, and we were in California. That's 8 years right there.
Oh, well, whatever.
We were in California another 2 or 3 years, so...
When I had Anthony in 1957, and we came to Winnipeg for your sister's wedding, they had sold the motel because they were going to put that bridge in. And remember they lived in that other house down by Coxwell's? Behind Coxwell's there? That's where your parents were living when your sister got married.
Yeah.
So that was in 1957.
Okay. So they tore it down about that time?
9-10 years. Then.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
So they'd sold out, though? Or did they?
And then they moved to Phoenix.
Yeah, he sold out and moved to Phoenix. I don't know. And it was, what, 3-4 years after that when the other bridge came in.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He had the hat. You've seen pictures of that.
I'm going to get a picture of the hat.
I know the hat.
You know the hat?
You know the little Wickenburg book? It's got the big hat on the front.
Yeah.
I wrote that book.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Okay. So I know the hat. I love the hat.
Okay.
Tell me about the hat.
Well, it was the Chamber of Commerce building right down by the movie theater.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Commerce was leaving, so my dad bought it. And he and I and Earl and the Jeep pickup moved that thing up to the motel. So it was right there in front of the motel and became a gift shop.
That's how that happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
So it was the Chamber of Commerce. Was it like a curio place gift shop when the Chamber had
it? No, it was just the office of the Chamber of Commerce.
So right next to the Bridge Court.
Yes.
It would.
Yes, and then it was his dad had stuff in it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, then he made up the kind of the office and sold all kinds of stuff in there. We used to go out in the desert and get stones and break them up, put them on cards and label them. And sold that. They had cactus lamps and stuff and whatever tourists would like, he had it, and candy and cigarettes and gum.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I never knew that.
We had the postcard of my, and I was going to bring it and show it to you because I didn't know if you knew.
Oh, could I see it? Because I've seen very good images.
Yeah.
The one image that the museum has, there's this woman standing by the big hat, and she looks Asian. Everybody says to me, who is this woman? I don't know.
Oh.
And it's a completely, and I think it's when it's a gift shop, but it's the one I have on the front of my book.
Okay.
But I also collect Wickenburg postcards. I buy them on eBay. Oh. And I found other postcards, and one of them said, the big hat at the Bridge Court.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. I never knew that.
See, this was his dad's postcard. That was on his dad.
That's the one I have.
That's the one you have? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That was like a postcard thing that your dad had, huh?
Yeah.
And that other photo, I don't think it says Desert Rocks and Minerals. I think it might. That might be when it was just the Chamber of Commerce.
It would have been, yeah. Because he added all that paint on there. They used to have what's called Gold Rush Day. Well, I guess they still do.
Mm-hmm.
But back then it was a little town, and it was a pretty big thing, right?
It's a great
thing. And it went right down the main drag by the motel and stuff.
Yeah.
So behind the wishing well down in the riverbed is where they did gold panning. So they salted they had a big thing of dirt, and they salted it, and people would rent the pans and be down there doing all this stuff. So the curio shop of my dad's was right up the hill from there. So he took paper flowers, and there was also a big cactus garden right there by the bridge, put paper flowers all over the cactus. And he had a Mexican up on top of the hat on the brim with a harmonica and a guitar singing and dancing and talking. And it was hot, around behind, on the back side of the hat, he had a fifth of the booze and a big thing of ice water. And he sold a lot of film. He really sold a lot of film.
That is awesome. Okay, now I have to get the real scoop from you. What happened to the hat?
Well, I guess when they put the bridge in, they bulldozed it.
Yeah.
We weren't there then, but it had to be.
Because people had told me that after a certain point, people were getting drunk, and then, their cars were driving into it and kind of wrecking it or whatever. But so it just went when the Bridge Court went then.
Yeah, I think they just took it down. Yeah.
Huh. Well, it might have been the people were running into it anyway, and maybe it was before they moved it.
They may have.
When it was the Chamber.
They may have.
Well, because there are bars right down there by the Chamber of Commerce when it was down there.
Yeah.
Sure.
The one, that lot that's right by the movie theater?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was right there in the corner.
Oh, you have made my day.
Oh.
I got the scoop on the big hat. I'm so happy.
I didn't know you did that.
Oh, my God. This is awesome. Ed, tell me your parents' names, if you would.
Yeah, Lloyd Miller.
Oh, all right.
And Florence Miller.
Okay.
Yeah.
His mom was the one who started the Seroptimist in Wickenburg.
Yeah.
Really?
And she also, they had a thrift store that was the old theater before they built a new one. And then his mom was also, because she was part of the Seroptimist and the thrift store there, she helped start Girls Ranch, which was in outside of Mesa, for girls who had and they needed to go to a place. And I don't know if they still operate Girls Ranch, but his...
I used to haul stuff down there all the time.
Yeah, and his...
From the court, furniture and beds.
Yeah,
and
so his mom was, a Seroptimist even when she went to Phoenix for years and years.
Yeah.
And, supported Girls Ranch for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. She also was on the city... What do you call it? Council?
Your mom's on city council?
Yeah. The summer before we got married, she was on the... Is it city council that votes on stuff? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The mayor and whatever? Okay. Because... I found out about the job, which was city parks and rec thing for kids. Mm-hmm. It paid pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. And I need money because we're getting married and going to school yet. So I applied for the job.
your mom
and my mom didn't vote because of that, right? But I'm sure when she left the room, they thought, we better vote for him.
That's right, I forgot that.
So that summer I did that, and they had just built a swimming pool for the city, first one. And I was, every morning I was in the pool, I'd clean the rooms and check the chlorine and all that stuff, clean it all up. I had that job, and I worked at 3 gas stations. And I also worked at one ranch out there.
You were helping drill a well.
Well, I did that too, but that was, anything I could do, I did it.
Wow. So was it a working ranch or one of the dude ranches where you worked?
It was just a family ranch. They didn't have any cattle or anything. It was right there in the California Highway, St. Clair's.
I think so.
St. Clair, I think, was the name.
Yeah.
And they just needed someone to fix stuff. Yeah. So, like, clean the pool and mend the fencing and... rake the needles.
Just remember he was saying a family has lived there. One of the families that lived at the court for a couple of years, it's Margaret Snyder, and she lives in Wickenburg, and they own that down by
Snyder Transfer. Right,
Snyder Transfer, and she has storage units there that she rents out. She owns a ranch out on the Hacienda, closer to Congress, but...
No, not Congress.
Morristown, I'm sorry. Yeah. Morristown, out towards Morristown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Hacienda. And her husband passed away a few years ago, but Marguerite still lives there, and she still owns that down by the... across from the railroad station there. She owns that transfer and storage unit thing there.
Transfer and storage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So she and her mom... Was it she and her mom came and lived at the court?
And her dad.
Huh. So she was one of those families. They lived there. And then she married Gil. Mr. Snyder used to own, he owned that transfer. And transfer and moving. And Gil was in my class.
Oh,
okay. So she married him. They were both in my class. They married each other.
Oh.
But Marguerite still lives there. She still works at the...
Did you ever go to the dances at Bowman's Barn?
Oh,
all the time.
Tell me your story. I'm getting so many Bowman's Barn stories. I want to hear them.
Well, it was St. Louis Woman was the song everybody tried to grab your special lady for. Right.
Yeah.
And it was... it was just a big old barn and had good music and good dancing. And it was $1.25 for the guys, and the girls got in free.
Free.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And Everett Bowman was always there.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody told me today he had, like, gigantic hands. And if you were being a little obstreperous, you'd feel that hand.
Oh, man.
I'm sure he did. Yeah.
Did you ever meet him or?
Oh yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eddie Kelch was in the band.
Oh, Eddie Kelch was.
Yeah, he played piano.
That's right.
Timmer, who else?
But they had pretty good music for.
It was Western.
Western music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love to dance. When I was in high school, there was a basement room. We called it a recreation room. And they had windows that opened out because it was in the basement, but they had a roll windows, and they kind of swung out. So if we were in there during the day, one of my classmates would, we would tip the window so that we could come back at night. And we'd sneak in there, and we'd take a phonograph player, and we'd play music, and we'd dance till about 9 o'clock. And then we'd sneak up. Then we'd open the door, and everybody go out, and then we'd lock it. And then whoever climbed in the window had to climb back up again, close the window. We did that.
Wow.
Yes.
That was an awesome story.
It was a neat little town.
It was.
They knew it, but, very
careful. You know.
You have to date.
You know, my dad and my mom used to let us roam all over because they knew we were safe.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go anywhere. And if we did anything, I mean, my mom and dad would hear about it. But, I mean, it was safe and,
yeah. It's a neat town.
A neat town. Yeah. And we actually thought about when we were going to leave Phoenix. And I said, no, it's hot. I needed to go someplace that was cool. So after we got up here, and I love it up here, it has four seasons, and then I had arthritis real bad, and then I couldn't stand the cold for the last 4 or 5 years. We actually thought about renting a house in Wickenburg for the winter. And we went down there, and we really couldn't find anything that we could rent at that time. We looked all over, and finally we ended up going to Sun City. But, and we, you know, we go to Wickenburg quite frequently to see Pat and Roberta, or my sister-in-law, Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
Or the high school
reunion. We were there last year for the high school reunion.
Oh, really?
It was my 60th class reunion. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
How many were in your class, both of you?
How many?
I had 16, right?
Yeah, I had 28, I think, in my class.
Wow.
I think there were 16 in my class, and 12 of them were boys.
Yes. No way. Yeah, right, that's right.
Well, those girls must have been really popular.
That's why her, you know, she was a freshman when I was a senior.
Yes. Anyway, 28. I want to say 32, but I think it was 28. There weren't that many.
How many made it to your reunion?
Oh, how many of us were there? Because it was our 60th, we made an effort to. Rommel called everybody on the list. She was going to send him an email, and then she said, I ended up calling him, and I had such a good time talking to everybody all across. We had about 12 or 13 there. Maybe, about 12 or 13. We had our own, brunch in the morning, Saturday morning, just our class, and then we went to the thing in the evening.
Where did you hold it?
The brunch.
Your reunion. And
it's at the Civic Center in Wickenburg.
Oh, okay.
They have it there, every 5 years? Well, they have a lot of classes.
For 19, what was their earliest class?
I don't remember. In the 30s, I think. Anyway.
It was 1912 or something, all the way up.
No, not 19. The people are there in the 30s, honey, not 1912. I mean, they have a lot of classes, and then they break it off, and then they have a lot of classes
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always kind of interesting because, I knew a lot of my brothers and sisters' friends also because it was a small town and, you know, we saw them at ball fields. So it's like seeing a lot of their friends too, although we're getting up in the age group where we're not seeing so many of them.
Yeah, well, when you go to the same school
for
4 years, you actually have friends cover an 8-year period,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I actually started first grade and graduated from high school with two others. There was three of us that started first grade together and graduated together, all 12 years, three.
What are their names?
One was Bobby Warner, and one was Judy Wood, and Judy lives in Glendale now, and myself, the
We started in first grade and graduated.
And you all, well, not Bobby, but there's, what, five of you that still get together for lunch?
Oh, yes. There's, I go to Wickenburg and have lunch with two or three of them that are still in my class, and then two of them live near me in Sun City. So we kind of all, we either go to Wickenburg once a month or they come down and meet us on Grand Avenue once a month.
Yeah, there's five of us, that girls that still meet. Well, and a couple guys, too.
Underdown.
Dave Underdown.
Oh, I've heard that name.
Yes.
Yeah.
They owned a lumber yard for a long time, and now he, I don't know what he does.
Yeah,
I don't know what. I have to tease Dave all the time. So what are you doing now, Dave? You're supposed to be retired. he's still in Wickenburg. He still is. He was on the, this is so funny. He was on the, for the city, what they call the, some commission. You know, after planning and zoning approves your plans, then it goes to something of adjustments. He was on that. And that was when they wanted to do the big ranch development out on
Wickenburg Ranch.
You know, they wanted to develop all that.
Right.
And this was before the recession. So they were getting ready to do it, and he says, I don't know. I'm on the Board of Adjustment. I think I'll vote against that, because think of all the water that they're going to need out there on those houses. And I'm like, oh, really, Dave? He wanted it like it was when we went through high school. It's like, I'm on the Board of Adjustment. I think that's what it was.
Oh.
Even though planning and zoning approved it. But then the recession hit, and they didn't do it. But now we see that they are doing some building out there now.
Royce and her new husband moved out there.
Oh.
We have a lovely home out there.
Okay. Well, we see it when we go down to Wickenburg from here, that they're putting in quite a few houses there.
I guess people moving in every week.
Yeah.
But it's still quite a bit of construction going on, but people are moving
in. See that,
And Royce and Daryl have this amazing view of Vulture Peak right from their living room window.
Yeah.
Did you ever know any of the kids that lived in there and worked at the Dude Ranches? Their families ran the Dude Ranches?
No, but the lady who owned the Flyney.
Flyney,
Vywellick.
Yeah.
Was a really good friend of my mom's for years. And when we got married, trying to
figure out ranch.
Well, she knows about Ramuda Ranch.
That I do.
My mother could trying to find a venue, for our wedding reception and that. And when she talked about it, because it was in September, we got married in Labor Day weekend, before school started, the issue. So I said, well, hey, we can do it. We don't have a lot of guests right now. And at that time, in the Catholic Church, if you were going to receive communion, you had to not, abstain from that. And so you had to get married real early in the morning. And that was Father O'Sullivan. Oh, God, I didn't know what I mean. He's like, 9 o'clock. Ooh, I get married at 9 o'clock in the morning. So my mom was trying to figure this all out. So then she decided, well, okay, we will get married at 9 o'clock in the morning. But we'll have, a brunch. And they had a really nice brunch for all of us out there, the family.
At the Flying Knee. That's where I'm staying.
Are you? And then at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we had the reception started. And it was just open house. People just kept coming and coming and coming. And that was the first time my oldest sister, we had a family photo taken just before my oldest sister got married. And that was the first time all my family was there from when Lloyd and I got married at our. So we had a family pick again of all of us. So how many years is that? A lot of years between when my sister got married and I got married. But that was the first time we all had a family picture again together.
Wow. So where exactly did they have the reception?
I'm trying to remember. It was in their dining room,
Oh, probably the lodge.
Oh, and in those days, too. My mother, you have to take all your gifts out. If I said, that's really good. I'll give you a room. You can display all your gifts. I said, Mother, we had to take all everything out there and put them out there so people could, during the reception, could come see your gifts. I'll never forget his mom and dad, knew them, but they had not met a whole lot of my family. So all my brothers are there. And, I had bridesmaids, and my sister was my maid. So my brothers would come through the line, and I was sitting next to Lloyd's mom on the line. And they'd say to me, can we kiss all the bridesmaids? I'd say, yeah, go ahead. So they'd
So I had to introduce Lloyd's mom. She said, "How many brothers do you have?" I said, "I don't know. They've been through the line three times. I think maybe you think there's 21 of them." She was like, "How many do you have?" I said, "They've been through the line about three times." She's like, "Because I have this is my brother. This is my brother. It's seven of them." So she's like, "How many do you have? There's 21 of them." Yeah. No, I said, "They've just been through the line. They want to kiss all the bridesmaids." Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's yep.
Great. Well, yep. Do you have any other Wickenburg memories I haven't asked you about?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What, honey?
I've loved your stories. They've been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a neat town. Yeah. It's a good place for kids to grow up.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. It's still a neat town. I'd like to go there.
Yes, I don't know.
I'd like to go there. Yep. And my brothers still have the ranch, so they do go up quite frequently, and they're leasing, I understand, they're probably leasing some out, that's mostly cattle now, mm-hmm. They don't have sheep, hardly any sheep left, but mostly cattle, and sometimes they'll just lease it. Do you know the Herskowitzes? Have you interviewed any of them?
They're on the list, yeah.
There are lots of them in town. They used to help my brothers, like if they leased it, you know, check on the tanks and all of that for them.
And yeah. Where was, I you may have said earlier in the interview, but where was the ranch in relation to Wickenburg?
It's about, what, 10, 12 miles out? I don't know how far out it is. It's on Highway 60.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how far out, 15 miles? 10 miles
maybe
out?
Maybe 10, if that much.
Yeah. And
just past the airport, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In fact, my dad owned the land that the airport's on now. And during the war, they had an internment camp there for, was it Japanese, I think? Yeah, they had built some Quonset huts there by the airport for that. And then afterwards, you know, when they took it down, my dad said, "I want all those Quonset huts gone, you know, from there." But that, I remember that was during the war. They had that out there.
There were Japanese families out there?
Yeah, in an internment camp,
just like the ones in California.
Yeah. Yeah. They had one down in southern Arizona, too, mm-hmm. for Japanese.
It was near Parker. There was one near Parker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I don't know that there were a lot of them out there, but I know there were some out there. Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's about
10 miles out. I'm trying to, I don't know. My brother Joey would probably know, but I don't know.
That's okay. I have the general idea.
Yeah, it's out Highway 60 before you get to Aguila.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you both very much.
Sure.
This was a treat. I just love hearing all these stories.
You drove to Prescott just for this?
Of course I did.
Oh, my gosh.